We begin the current daf Masechtas Chundaf Ayin Hey. Begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf, and that is, we have this machlekes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish regarding the relationship that a ben pekua has to its mother, which Rish Lakish had qualified almost like as how a nut is to its shell, which is that it's considered as one unit. Whereas Rabbi Yechon had said that no, although there is a relationship between the ben pekua and the mother, which is like we said, when you slaughter the mother, the ben pekua is permitted based on the mother slaughtering. However, it's considered its own distinct unit, and therefore, regarding to the laws of tumah transmission, it would go down from a rishon. When the mother becomes a rishon, the fetus would be a sheni. Whereas Rish Lakish said no, it would all be a rishon. On that, Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish, a braisa says this ben pekua, who is like a walking piece of meat, because it's already permitted with slaughtering, although it's living and breathing and walking. If it walks through a river, it becomes vulnerable to becoming tummy because now it came in contact with one of the seven liquids, and it's like a piece of meat already ready to be, it's a oichel that could be mekabel tumah. And then when it goes into the cemetery, then it becomes tummy. So that's a Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, according to me, that I say that they're two different bodies. We understand why it needs hechsher to be mekabel tumah, because although the mother was hokshel mekabel tumah and was slaughtered by coming in contact with its own blood that touched it, so it became hokshah, but not the vlad, because the fetus is considered something distinct. But according to you, that it's considered one body, it should be like an organ of the animal, which all of the animal becomes susceptible to tumah once part of the animal becomes tummy. So that Rish Lakish answered, oh, we're talking about a dry slaughtering, that there's no blood, and not like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the slaughtering itself can make it vulnerable. And therefore, yet, none of the animal, not the mother, not the child, are susceptible. Therefore, it had to be only when it comes in contact with water. But even when it's living and breathing, that was the chiddush of that braisa, as we're going to discuss right now, that could still make it susceptible to tumah, because it's like a walking eichel. It's a food item, because it doesn't need slaughtering. And therefore, then it could be mekabel tumah. So says the Gemara, Man Tana. Who is the Tana of this braisa? Avar benahar hochshur, when this ben pekua, this fetus that was found inside, living, breathing, when the mother was slaughtered, that it doesn't have to be slaughtered. That when it walks through a river, it becomes susceptible to tumah. And halach lebeisa kvaras nitman, when it walks into a cemetery, it becomes tummy. In other words, who is it that says that a living creature could be mekabel tumah, which generally a living animal cannot be mekabel tumah. It only could be when it's slaughtered, and it's like a piece of meat. Then it can be mekabel tumah. So I'm Rabbi Yechon, and he says, Rabbi Yechon glilihi. The time of that price is Rabbi Yechon glilihi. The time like learn the price. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Eimer Mishum Rabbi Yisai Glili says, "Metama tumas eichon." This ben pekua, which is again called the son, which was burst, was found in when you burst open, meaning when you find it in the stomach of the mother, even when it's living, if it touches something that makes it that's tame, it becomes tuma, the tuma of food items, and b'tzarech hechsher. But it still needs to be prepared to be mekabel tuma, because although its mother was hoshel mekabel tuma when it was slaughtered, but it's two different bodies. It doesn't become hokshel mekabel tumah when the mother is slaughtered. So though it's a food item, because it doesn't need to be slaughtered itself, but it didn't come in contact with the blood, it would need to be prepared itself. That's exactly like the halacha of the braisa, that it could be mekabel tumah, but it needs to be prepared to be mekabel tumah. So you see that it's basically holds that even though it's a living creature, it could be mekabel tumah. Now, as Rashi points out, as the Gemara will discuss, however, that it's not like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, and to say, wait, isn't this the same thing as like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah? The Rabbanan of our Mishnah say that the ben pekua does not need slaughtering. And as we explained in the previous stuff, it's kibisa b'dekula, it's like a piece of meat in a pot. So wouldn't they say the same thing? Why does Rabbi Yechon have to say it's Rabbi Yisai Glili? No, the reason is because Rabbi Yechon holds that even the Rabbanan in this brayse that we're quoting right now, who dispute Rabbi Yisai Glili regarding the law of it being mekabel tumah, they also hold like the Rabbanan in our Mishnah regarding the laws of slaughtering. And even so, the sages say, no, it's not going to be mekabel tumah seichlin. It's a living creature. Whatever is living, even though, yes, it doesn't need slaughtering, is not mekabel tumah seichlin, and therefore it's not contingent on the machlekes remaining Rabbanan in our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yechon says. It's specifically Rabbi Yisai Glili who holds this opinion that, although it's a living creature, but since it doesn't have to be slaughtered, it's like a walking piece of meat, and it could be hokshel mekabel tumah, but it needs to be prepared. Now, says the Gemara, v'az Rabbi Yechon l'tameh. Rabbi Yechon, the way we just qualified, that it's specifically Rabbi Yisai Glili, goes according to his interpretation elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Yechon, he says, Rabbi Yisai Glili, u'beshamai, amar davar echad. They say the same thing, which is Rabbi Yisai Glili, hod amar, and there's the halacha that we just quoted. Now, beshamai, and from there we'll prove how Rabbi Yechon understands, as we just framed it before, why it's not contingent on like the Rabban in our Mishnah of not requiring Meshchita, it's a more finer opinion, is because B'Shamet is not, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Uktzin. Mishnah says, Dagim me'emes ha-mekabel tumah. When do fish become susceptible to be mekabel tumah? Like by an animal, we said it's when it's slaughtered. What's with a fish? Which by fish, there is no slaughtering. So B'Shamet say that from when it's captured, since it doesn't require slaughtering, that's when it's captured. It's like when it's dead, which is the equivalent of an animal being slaughtered, that's when it's mekabel tumah. That's when it's a food item. U'B'Silayim, they say, no, mishimusu, from when it's dead. B'Kivayim, he says, mishoshe en yichayin lichyos, from when they can't live anymore, not necessarily when it's dead. Now, from the fact that Rabbi Yechonon says, Rabbi Yosei Glili, and by Shammai, who hold that a fish could be mekabel tumah, even when it's still alive, just once it's captured, that they say the same thing, what obviously you see from Yechonon's rash, his understanding, is that the chacham that we just quoted in the Brisa, that they say that a ben pekuah, when it's alive, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. It's not because they hold, like Remeir, that you require shchita. And, oh, if you require shchita, so it's a regular living creature, of course it's not mekabel tumah. Because if their reason would be because it requires shchita, then they should hold by fish, which does not require shchita. They should have agreed to be shamai that it is mekabel tumah then. So then how could Rabbi Yechonon say that Rabbi Yosei Glili and Mishamai saying the same thing? Obviously, because it's not contingent on that. It has nothing to do with the fact that because it requires shchita. You could hold that it doesn't require shchita like the Chacham in our Mishnah, and that's how the Chacham in the Braisa could hold, and still, it's not mekabel tumah. Obviously, it's specifically Rabbi Yosei Glili, who he says this idea a step further, that besides not requiring shchita, it also is going to be mekabel tumah. That's like B'Shamai, who says that nothing to do with shchita, that it can be mekabel tumah, just from the fact, even when it's alive, even if it's a living creature, that's B'Shamai, that's Rabbi Yosei Glili. Now, the Gemara clarifies, my Benai, what's the difference between these opinions that we just quoted, specifically between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Yechonon, he says, dam dag mikartei ke Benai. The difference between them is a fish that's in the throes of death, which is like when it has dried up the size of a sella, of a coin, between its fins, where then it's not going to survive anymore, as the Gemara says in Titus of Chavdal Medalev, according to Beis Hillel, it's not mekabel tumah until it actually dies. Kutra Bekiva, it's when it cannot survive anymore, that's Mekabel Tumas Eichlin, that's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel. But again, we see that Rabbi Yechonon said it's Rabbi Yosei Glili because he holds it's not dependent on requiring Shechita or not. It could not require Shechita and still not Mekabel Tumah. And therefore he says that Braisa specifically is Rabbi Yosei Glili, like the opinion of Beis Shammai. Now, related discussion to what we just discussed, by Rav Chisda says, Noldu Bidogim Simani Trefa. If they're in the fish, if it develops signs of having a mortal defect. For example, if let's say the intestines are punctured. So according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that if it cannot survive anymore, so then it's already considered that it can mekabel tumah. Ma, what's the halacha if it developed a simon of tarfus? What would the halacha be over there? So says the Gemara, this question could be asked both according to the opinion that holds that a trefa, a creature with a mortal defect, could live for a long time. And that same question would be viable even according to the one that says a trefa cannot survive. As the Gemara explains, this question is even eligible for the one who says that a trefa could survive. But you could say, maybe that mandama holds, yeah, an animal could survive because it has a lot of life. So even though it has a mortal defect, it could live for a long time. But a fish that does not have a lot of life in it, and that's actually why it doesn't have the halacha of shechita to it. So maybe over there, we wouldn't say that it's going to survive for a long time, and we would say that we do consider it as it's not going to survive, and according to Rabbi Kiva, that's written mekabel tumas eichlin. Oidomo, maybe, no. Even according to the pin that says generally a trefa does not survive, and therefore maybe you should be considering it as mekabel tumah, as if it's going to die. But hanemila behema diyesh b'min neshchita. Maybe you would say that's only by an animal where it has in its species an element of slaughtering. But regarding fish, which doesn't have the element of slaughtering regarding it. So therefore, the whole concept of trefas is that it precludes it from shchita, making it that it could be eaten. But a fish doesn't have in its shechita to say that tarfas would make it like it's dead. So maybe over there I would say loy, that actually would not be problematic, and even though it develops a siman trefa, it would not be makabel tum yet. So you want to take a little stand, it's not clear, according to Bikiva, what the halacha would be in the fish that develops simon the tarfas, if it'd be makabel tum yet or not. Now, the Gemara continues that regarding an animal, specifically behema, a domesticated animal that miscarries, hetila nafel, if it pushes forth and emerges a nafel, a fetus that didn't survive. So Rabbi Yechonam, he says, chel boy kechel of behema. And this is going to relate to a discussion from the previous stuff. The fats of that nafel is like the fats of the behema, which is just like the forbidden fats of the animal itself are forbidden upon the punishment of karas, of dying at a young age. So too, the fats of the nafel, as we'll discuss, it emerged, it's like a creature itself. Its chelev has the same penalty. But Rishon Belakisham, he says, no, chelev kechelev chaya. The fats of the nafel, of the miscarriage, of that fetus that didn't survive, is like the fats of a wild animal, which a wild animal does not have the isra of chelev as a behemoth, as a domesticated animal. So therefore, this nafel will only have, if one eats the chelev, the prohibition of nevela, because it's not something that slaughtering does not help for it. However, its fat is like its flesh, which will not have the isra of chelev, although it will have the isra of nevela. Now, the Gemara explains their machlekes as follows. Yechon Amar, he says, chel b'kechelev behema, the reason why its fat is the same punishment as that of an animal itself, is because avira gara, emerging into the airspace of the world, causes it to be considered now a behema. So once it's born, albeit as a nafel, it becomes forbidden. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda that we said in the previous daf, that the fats of the fetus is permitted, that's only when it doesn't emerge in it through the birth. But when it's born and it comes out to the world, then its fats will actually be like the regular fats of an animal, which are forbidden. Whereas Rav Shimon Lakasham, or Chel B'Kechelev Chai, says, no, its fats are like how the fats of a wild animal is, although its mother is a behema, meaning that it does not have the punishment of Karas, is because Chadashim Garmi. It's not just coming out to the airspace. It has two requirements. One, that it went full term. And two, that it came out into the airspace of the world. Here it came to the Avira, but it didn't have Kaluloi Chadashim, it didn't make it to the full 9 months, and therefore, even though it comes out, it's not going to have the halacha as a behema, and therefore its chelev is not going to be forbidden like the chelev of a behema. Now, ikadam, those that say that actually no. Kalecha do lekalech loichadashav is the previous case where it didn't make it to full term. So leklomu, that nafel is insignificant, and its chelev is not going to be like the chelev of a behema. It's not going to be upon the punishment of karas. Ki pligi, their machlikas was in the following case. Hecha dohashid yodei leme'ai behema, where the person stuck his hand into the womb of the animal. V'talish chelev shel ben tes chai v'achol. So it's going to be a similar discussion, but a different case, where then the person went and tore off the chelev, the fats, of this living 9-month-old fetus and ate it. What's the machlekes? V'yechon Amar, he says, chel boi kechelev behema. The fats are like the fats of an animal, which is the same karas. Why? Because chadashim garmi. Because it's the 9 months that cause it. So since it went full term, we're talking about that it is a 9-month-old fetus, it's not a nafel, so its fats are forbidden. Now, however, when the mother is when they slaughter the mother, then Rabbi Huda said in the previous daf, everything inside that fetus is going to be permitted, including its fats, from kol bebehemet teichelu, whatever's inside the animal, which is this fetus, everything there is permitted. But here, where the mother wasn't slaughtered yet, so that didn't yet permit that fetus, and therefore it's considered its own behema, doesn't have the permissibility of a kol bebehema behema toichelu, and therefore it's a regular chelev, which is forbidden, that of a behema. Whereas Rav Shimon Malakasham, he said, no, chelev kechelev chaya. Its fats is like the fats of a wild animal. Why? Because chadashim b'avira garmi, not only do you have to make it the full term, you also have to emerge into the airspace of the world. Until you do that, it's not considered a behema. And therefore, its chelev is not going to have the punishment as the chelev of a regular behema, because it's not considered yet a behema. And therefore, there's no karas. He asked Rabbi Shimon Lakish from the following Bryce in Teres Kainim. The Bryce discusses regarding the carbon shlamim. It says, as kol achelev asher ala kerev, says that you have to, there's what's called the imurim, there's sacrificial parts that have to be burnt on the mizbeach of a carbon shlamim. It says all the fats that are on the intestines, which tells us the fats that are on the intestines, but not the fats of the fetus. Now you would think, okay, there's no punishment and there's no prohibition. But you would think, but that one goes ahead and he does sacrifice those fats on the Mizbeach, even of the shlil of the fetus. But the fact that it says by the Karban Asham, that there you have to sacrifice the fats and the two kidneys by the Karban Asham, which seemingly is unnecessary. Because if by a Karban Shlomim that we just said, that you have to sacrifice the Chelev and the Shtei Akloyas, which by a Shlomim, you don't even sacrifice the Alya, the tail doesn't go onto the Mizbeach, and still requires the Chelev and Shtei Akloyas, so the Karban Asham, which its whole species requires the Alya, the fatty tail, to be sacrificed in Mizbeach, of course you would require the Chelev and Shtei Akloyas. So what does it teach you when it repeats it by the Karban Asham? Rather, it's coming to tell you, as our Gemara quotes, that part of the Braisa, Ma Chelev Shtei Kloyes Amuz Ba'Asham, just like the fats and the two kidneys, that it says by the Karban Asham, that that's what you sacrifice in Mizbeach, that is Mutzim Mechlal Shlil, that precludes that Chelev should be the Chelev of a fetus. Why? Because you cannot say that the fat of a fetus is being sacrificed with a Karban Asham, because a Karban Asham is never female, it's always male. So it automatically precludes it from being the chelev of the shlil, of the fetus. So afkol. So that's teaching us, by repeating this chelev shtei akloyes by the Karban Asham, that all karbanis, even that come as a female, when it says that you sacrifice its fats, is mutzim achlal shlil, it's precluding, it does not include the fats of the fetus. Says Rabbi Yechonon to Reish Lakish, so bishlem lilididi makes sense according to me that I said that what makes this animal into an animal? It's when it goes full term, even if it didn't emerge into the world yet. So you could say that what we're talking about over here regarding the shlil and the tchelev, we're talking about the 9-month-old living fetus that was discovered inside this carbon, that since it's called a behema, because according to Rabbi Yechonon it's already behema, that's why you need a pasuk to exclude and preclude and say that no, that that's not going to be. Although it's a regular animal inside the stomach, you're not going to sacrifice its chelev that's on its intestines. But it says Rabbi Yechonon to Reish Lakish, but according to you, you don't even call it chelev yet, because it's not even behema according to you yet. So obviously it's not going to be sacrificed. Amai itzrach? Why is it necessary? Why do we need a miyur to exclude it to say that's not sacrificed? So Malay, Sir Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yechonon, you're right. Taima didi, my reasoning that I say, as I said before, that it's not chelev, is not mimach, it's actually from here. This is actually the source where I learned it out from. Because the Torah precludes it from the halacha of chelev to be sacrificed in Mizbeach, it's obviously excluding it from Akrava, and that is, if the Torah did not exclude it, I would have said it's chelev. Here is where I learned it out, that it's not considered chelev yet. Now, Vekadami, that those who say the opposite, that Ezer Reb Shim Malakish Reb Yechonon, it's Reb Shlakish who asked Reb Yechonon from this braisa. The Braisa said, as we quoted before, Ma Chelev Shtei Akloyes, Hamuris Ba'Ashem, Mutzim Mechlal Shlil, just like, and this is what it's repeating it by Ashem for, that it's telling us that the fats and the kidneys that you sacrifice by Karban Ashem obviously is precluding from being from a fetus, because there is no fetus in the Ashem. Avkol, Mutzim Mechlal Shlil, oh, that's what it's teaching us. Every carbon, you're not going to be sacrificing the fats of the fetus. Says Reish Lakish, Bishlam Lididi, I understand according to me, Mishum Hachi Maiti Rachmana, that's why the Torah is excluding it, to tell you that it's not considered Chelev. But according to Rabbi Yechonon, that you say that it is considered the chelev regarding consumption, and you say that it has the isra of chelev already at that point, so if it's considered chelev that you can't eat, which is usually associated with the chelev that sacrificed in Mizbeach, why does the Torah then exclude it from actually being sacrificed? So Malay says, Rabbi Yechonon, that's not difficult. You find such a concept like a carbon that's yet not filled its time when it could be sacrificed, let's say less than 8 days old. Where even if the animal has already come out to the world, that's Avir, it already has Kol Chadash, already went full term, and according to everyone that's already considered behemoth, and even so, the Torah says it's invalid from bringing it as a carbon the first 7 days, so it's not difficult. The Hero says it's missing something, where although, yes, it's considered chelev, but it didn't emerge into the Avir, so therefore, sure, I'm going to say that it's not going to be considered a chelev of a behemoth, of a carbon to be sacrificed on Mizbech. Now, continuing this halacha, Amar Bami says, Hashechir Esa Trefa, if someone slaughters an animal with a mortal defect, Umatzaba Ben Tes Chai, and they find inside of it a vibrant 9-month-old fetus, ledivrei ha'aser, according to the opinion in our Mishnah, that is one of Reb Meir, that says it's forbidden the 9-month-old fetus to eat it until you actually slaughter it, mater, in this situation, he will permit this fetus to be eaten because, yeah, you'll slaughter it. It has nothing to do with the mother anyway, a regular ben pekua. So here you'll slaughter, although the mother's a treif, you'll slaughter it and it'll be permitted to be eaten. But ledivrei hamater, according to the Chacham, who say it's actually permitted the ben pekua without slaughtering it, when by a regular kosher animal, so here actually, oiser, Here he's going to say that by the treifa, that the bembakua is actually forbidden. Why? Because the chacham hold, the slaughtering of the bembakua is not what's effective. It's always based on what its mother is. And it's not permitted either with the slaughtering of the treifa, because it's like one of the limbs of the treifa, which even if you slaughter a treifa, it doesn't permit it to be eaten. So therefore here, the bembakua will actually be forbidden. Now, Rav Amahi disagrees. He says, L'divei ha-mater nami mutter. Even according to the Chacham who permit the bembakua of a kosher animal without slaughtering it, nami mutter, here they would say that even by the fetus, the bembakua of a treifa will also be permitted. Why? Because dal simonim achshe beirachmanim. It's not like like Rav Ami said it, that the bembakua is totally dependent on the mother. So when the kosher animal, when it gets shechted, it doesn't need it. And by a treifa, which doesn't help, it won't help. No. The Torah permits, and it's a heter that the Torah gave from kol bebehema teichelu, that if a person wants, he could eat the fetus because of the slaughtering of the mother. But if, let's say, he needs the slaughtering of the fetus itself, for example, like this case, when it's a shlil of a treifa, then you could slaughter it and it's going to be permitted. Because the Torah said that you could permit this bempakua with four different pipes, meaning either the two pipes of the fetus itself, which is its windpipe and its food pipe, or with the veshin and the kan of the mother. But it's not limited to the mother, it's even the mother. And therefore, when the mother doesn't work, like by treifa, of course you could slaughter the child. Now, similar type of a case, which the Gemara is going to ask on Amr of Chizda. Chizda said, same case, Hashechel is a treifa, if someone slaughters a treifa animal, a motaba ben teschai, and he finds a 9-month-old child, the fetus, as we said, that's the halach of ben pekua. So he says, as we continue to his base, toin shchita. So the fetus needs to be slaughtered to permit it to be eaten, because slaughtering of its mother, which is a treifa, doesn't permit it to be eaten, because then it would just be like one of the limbs of a treifa, which, although maybe that might make it not tame, but it's not going to be permitted to be eaten. So you have to slaughter the bempekua. And v'chayi b'zroi v'l'chayam v'akeva, and like any animal, when you slaughter it, which is one of the 24 Kohanic gifts, you have to give the forearm and the jaw and the maw, which is one of the four stomachs of the ruminant, to the kohen, because this qualifies for zevch ha-zevch, like the pasuk says in Devarim, when you slaughter an animal, which what you're doing to the bempekua, you have to give the kohen these gifts of the animal. And, however, v'imeis, if let's say the bempekua died without being slaughtered, tahar milatame b'masa, it will be purified from transmitting tumah as a nevela, because the slaughtering of its mother, which even for a treifa, when you slaughter it, it's matar from nevela, is effective for the bempekua too. So if the bempekua just died, it will not be matam like a nevela. Now, in this halacha, Rav Chizda, and the Gira says, Amali Rabba, Rabba asks, he says, wait, how do we understand all your halachas? Tan shchita, you said that, okay, so the fetus, you're going to have to slaughter it. So come on, who's that like? That's kremator. Because Rabbah is assuming that according to Rabbanon, it doesn't help its own slaughtering at all. Because like we said, it's totally dependent on the mother. The bembakua, when you slaughter the mother, permits the fetus, which sounds like that the fetus has none of its own slaughtering. And it's like it's pre-slaughtered. So its own slaughtering won't do anything. So when you're saying that, oh, that you do slaughter the child, as if it's effective to something, that must be like Reb Meir, who says you always have to slaughter the bempekua. Now, the thing is, but then you said, v'imeis, you said if it dies, tar milatamba b'masa, then, oh, it's going to be purified from transmitting tumma through carrying like a nevela. Come on, who's that like? That's Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan are the ones who say that the shechita of the mother is effective for the bempekua, and Reb Meir doesn't hold like that. So how do you resolve your halachas with two different opinions? To which Rav Chizda responded back, and he said, wait, l'tamech, according to your reasoning, hadetan Reb Chiya. What do you do? There's a brayse Reb Chiya taught the same like me. Reb Chiya said, Hashechet is a treifa, if someone slaughters a treifa, umotzaba ben teschai, and he finds inside a living 9-month-old fetus. Oh, so he said, toin shchita, you have to slaughter it. And v'chai b'zroi b'lechai b'akev, and he says that you're obligated in the forearm and the jaw and the maw. And v'meis, and he said, if the fetus died, the bempekua died, tar milatam b'masa, it's purified from transmitting tumah through carrying. So you have the same question, he says exactly just like what I said. Toin shchita, the command. This that requires slaughtering, who's that like? That's kremeya. Then he says, v'meis, tar milatam b'masa, but if it dies, it's not going to transmit to Meznevela. That's Karabanan, who it's purified through the mother. So your same question is on Reb Chiya. To which Rabbah said, no. Halei kasha, Reb Chiya, im kvar matzoi meis. Reb Chiya, who's Tanoim, who's a Braisa, and that's we could interpret, we could say that it was if the fetus was already found dead, when it was talking about im meis, Tarmel Tambab Masa, was saying that if it was found dead in the mother's womb, that's what Kamar. That's what Rav Chiya was talking about. And he was going only with the opinion of Reb Meir, because Reb Meir agrees when you have the 9-month-old fetus found dead in the womb, that it's still in the womb. That wasn't a viable animal on its own right, that it's its own entity. That, yeah, the slaughtering of the mother will permit it. We're here where the mother was a trefa, at least when you slaughter the trefa, including all of its limbs, which the fetus is considered part of that, gets permitted and gets purified from the tumah nevela like one of its limbs. That's how I can explain the Brayso of Reb Chiya. But Eldach, but according to you, that you didn't respond to me when I asked you the question that you were talking about, that it was already found dead when it was in the womb. According to you, Kasha, that's difficult. You're obviously talking about that it's dead now. How are you going to answer that? That's according to Rabbanan. Your first halacha was like Reb Meir. So Malays, on that, Rav Chisda said, no, Ledidi Namel Kasha, according to me, it's also not difficult. Because Dal Simonim Achshaberichman, like we said in the previous Gemara, that 4 signs the Torah validated in the slaughtering of a Ben Pekua. And Reb Chisda says, I'm going totally like Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan agree that if you're coming to slaughter it, in the situation when you need to, like when the mother is a trefa, then you could slaughter it, and that would be effective. And it's not like it's already pre-slaughtered. So that's what Rav Chisda was saying. When the mother is a trefa, tain shchita, you're going to have to slaughter it because the mother slaughtering won't help. And yes, like Drabanan, the mother slaughtering did help at least in regards to Mim Tamar from Tumas Nevela. Now, says the Gemara, Kiselik Reb Zeira, when Reb Zeira went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei, and the Gemara says, Rabasi encountered Reb Zeira, the Yosef Akamala Lahoshmaita, who was sitting and saying over this teaching that we just said. And he said to him, Yasher, you should be strengthened, meaning you're saying very well that, yes, that the Torah validated 4 different pipes, meaning either these 2 of the mother or the 2 of the fetus, and Mechinam Rabbi Yechanan, and Sutur Rabbi Yechanan said. Now, he asked him, Mechlal de Paligaler Rabbi Shimon Lakish, when you're telling me that Rabbi Yechanan said like this. Now, Rabbi Shlakish was the counterpart, the disputant of Rabbi Yechanan, so he's asking, he says, what, and not Reish Lakish? Did you hear that Reish Lakish disputed Rabbi Yechanan? So he answered him that the custom was of Reish Lakish, when Rabbi Yechanan would say over a teaching, which Reish Lakish did not agree to, so Misha have a shayle. So Reish Lakish would wait an hour or 2 before he would disagree with him. Maybe Rabbi Yechanan would retract. Now, Vishasikle, and he would be silent. Now, however, in that hour or 2, Rabasi had left. He didn't hear if Reish Lakish disputed or not, because even though right away he didn't, but he never did right away. But I don't know if he disputed because I don't wait around till the hour or 2 later when Reish Lakish finally would dispute. Vigadami, those that say that Mishta have a shasi, he was actually drinking water when Rabbi Yechanan said over this teaching. Vishasikle, and that's why he was silent because he was busy drinking. And in that interim, Rabasi left, so he didn't know if Reish Lakish disputes or not. And that's why he only said that Yasher, that Sotra Rabbi Yechanan says, but could be Reish Lakish also agrees to that or not. Now the Mishnah had said, the third opinion regarding this Ben Pekua, if it requires slaughtering or not, Reb Shimon Shazuri Omer, he says, Afila v'chula, even if it's 5 years old and it's just plowing in the fields, you could just take it and you could just eat it because it's already pre-slaughtered from the slaughtering of its mother where it was found in that stomach as a Ben Pekua. Now, ask the Gemara behind the Tanakama, it's the same in the Tanakama. Reb Meir says you need to slaughter, Tanakama says you don't need to. So what's Reb Shimon Shazuri saying more than the Tanakama? So Rav Katan, he says, Hifras agabi karka, if the animal already planted its feet on the ground, that's ikibinai, that's the difference between them. Because according to Tanakama, you're right, when you find the Ben Pekua inside, you don't have to slaughter it. But the Tanakama holds, once it started walking, then rabbinically requires slaughtering. Because you might come to confuse it, and you might come to eat a regular animal without slaughtering, because it looks just the same as any regular animal. So rabbinically, the Tanakama requires shechita, and that's Reb Shimon Shazuri saying that no, 5-year-old animal, you could just go ahead and take a bite out, because it's already considered like a slaughtered piece of meat. Now, Amar Rav Masharsha, he says, according to the opinion, this is referring to Chananya later on the Fein Chesma Beis regarding the halachas of the prohibition of slaughtering an animal with its parent in the same day. He says it's not just with its mother, but also with its father. He's concerned with the seed of the father. According to his opinion, Ben Pekua, who we're discussing, this child that's found inside the slaughtered animal's stomach, the womb, but we call it that, Haba Behema Mal Yasa, which, if that Ben Pekua cohabits with a regular animal, Haflat Ein L'Takana, there's no rectification to kasher that child. Why? That child, halachically, is viewed as if it only has one pipe from its maternal, from its mother's side. Because the other pipe, since we were concerned for both paternal and maternal, according to this opinion, is like already pre-slaughtered. Because we said it's already, like the parent, the child is the same thing. So, therefore, since this Ben Pekua doesn't have to be slaughtered at all, and it's like 50% in the child, so that child, slaughtering is not going to help. Because slaughtering one pipe does not validate an animal. You have to slaughter both pipes. But it only is like considered having one pipe from its mother, but no pipes from its father. Now, additionally, you can't say that that second pipe should combine with the first pipe, which is, quote, pre-slaughtered from its father's side, because there's no greater shehiyah than this, where that's one of the invalidations of shechita, when you do shehiyah, when you delay, where this was already pre-slaughtered from when it was born, and you're waiting all this time, that would be the invalidation of shehiyah. Additionally, Rashi points out that obviously this opinion of Misharshir does not hold of what we said before, the Dal Saman Akshabe Rahmana, because then, forget about the father. Yeah, you could go with the father slaughtering, and then it would be already pre-slaughtered, but you go with the fetus's own slaughtering, and then it has its own two pipes, and would be valid. Obviously, Rav Misharshir does not go with that concept of Dal Saman Mechshir Lechmana. Now, going back to what we were talking about before, so Amar Abaye says, Hakol Maidim. Everyone agrees, even the Tanakama who disputes Reb Shimon Shazuri and says that, okay, rabbinically, if it started walking, it's going to require to be slaughtered. However, says Abaya, Tanakama agrees, Bekalut ben pekua shemutar. If this ben pekua is not just a ben pekua, it doesn't have just this phenomena that it was found inside the womb of the mother when it was slaughtered. Additionally, its hooves were not separated, which... although generally that's a problem because that's one of the simonic kashrus, but if its mother is kosher, it's okay. Here where it's kalut, then the Tanakhama would agree that, yeah, you could let it be 5 years old and eat it without slaughtering it. My time, what's the reason? Because kol milsa d'tmiya, anything that's a wonder, that's a phenomena, mitka d'chirile inshi, so people recall this, meaning the word comes out and everyone says, wow, you see that kosher cow, even though it doesn't have split hooves? That's a ben pekua. And because everyone's wondering and saying, wow, look at that, that's a cow, it doesn't have split hooves, they're going to recall and know that, why is someone taking a bite out of this animal without slaughtering it? Oh, everyone knows about this. This not only does this animal have non-split hooves, but it was also a ben pekua, so it doesn't have to be slaughtered. Now, Ikudam, those say a little bit more stringent, that Omar Abaye says, HaKol Moedim B'Kolut Ben Kolut Ben Pekua. It's only if this ben pekua was not only that it was kolut, that its hooves were not split, but its mother was also that phenomena that its hooves were not split, then this ben pekua could just be eaten when it's 5 years old. My time, what's the reason? Because trait me, two wonders. Like, not only is this animal a kolut, its mother was a kolut, so mitkat kiriinshi, people are going to remember all the specifics about it, including that it's a ben pekua, and therefore no one's going to wonder when you're eating without slaughtering. It's not going to confuse people and think you don't got to slaughter animals. Now, Amaziri Amreb Chanin, he says, halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, that even 5 years old, plowing in the field, just start cutting off pieces of the animal and making a steak because it doesn't need to be slaughtered. And v'chena Reb Shimon Shazuri matter, he even permitted, pibenoi, ubenbenoi, atzav kodaris, this ben pekua, for all future generations, it continues that permissibility where it doesn't require the halacha being slaughtered. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he says, no, who mutter, no, the ben pekua itself is permitted, but Rabbi Yasser, its child, would require slaughtering. Now, the Gemara brings a story relating to these halachas that Ad Bar Chavu, Havali ben pekua. He had a ben pekua, which was around, it grew up, it was a regular animal. The Nafal Devalau. But then, one day, a wolf pounced on it, and it wasn't able to survive for that much longer. So, after coming to Rav Ashi, he came in front of Rav Ashi. So, Amalei said to him, Zil Shachte, go ahead and slaughter the animal. Meaning, like the Rabbanon, who they say that even though it's a ben pekua, but once it was walking, it requires slaughtering. Now, as Tosfos points out, although he's saying like the Rabbanon, which requires slaughtering, so but what do you do about the fact that it's a trefa because it was pounced on by a lion? So, Tosfos says, no, the decree, because really doesn't require even slaughtering. It was only rabbinically requiring slaughtering because that's a public thing. Everyone's going to know that this guy just started cutting off pieces and eating it. But trefas are not so recognizable that people say, hey, I had a trefa, how'd you go ahead and eat it? And therefore, he wasn't concerned for the trefas part, but he says, okay, go ahead and slaughter it. Now, however, Amalei, he said to him, why is it required slaughtering? Ha-maziri amreb chanina halacha k'reb shimin shazuri, which says you don't have to slaughter it. And v'chin ha-reb shimin shazuri matah b'b'noi u'ben b'noi atzev kalderis, and that reb shimin shazuri said even the children and grandchildren don't require. Now, v'afil reb yechana le'kaman, even reb yechana who disputes ziri, he was only disputing el b'noi. He was only saying that the child requires shechita. But Ibn Rabbi Yechon was agreeing that the child, that the ben pekua itself, does not require slaughtering. Why are you telling him to go slaughter? So Amalei, so he said to him, no, Rabbi Yechonon, ledivri Rabbi Shimon Shazuri kama. Rabbi Yechonon doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. He holds like Rabbanon, that you have to slaughter it. when he was saying that it's only by the Ben Bekua and not by its son, he was qualifying in Reb Shimon Shazuri. But therefore, it's not difficult that I'm telling you the psak that it requires slaughtering, because it could be Rabbi Yechon holds that even the Ben Bekua itself requires slaughtering, like the Tanakam. No, but then he asked, but v'amar Rav and Bar Chanina, amar Ula, amar Reb Chanina, halacha k'Reb Shimon Shazuri. They said specifically, halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri. V'loyo, not only that, elakal makim shashana Reb Shimon Shazuri b'mishnas einu, that wherever Reb Shimon Shazuri is mentioned in our mishnas, halacha k'mayis, halacha is like him. So why requiring slaughtering if the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri? So Malay said to him, ano ki hosfirili, I hold like a different halacha qualification that was said. The Amr B'yidnes and B'yidnes said a different qualification. He says, halacha k'Reb Shimon Shazuri, b'mesukin, by a person that's in danger of dying, u'b'trumas ma'iser shel demai, and regarding the trumas ma'iser, that's what a levi gets ma'iser, he has to take off a tithe of that tithe and give it to the kohen, when it's purchased from demai, which is produce purchased from amaretz, that those two areas, halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, which the inference is, but nowhere else. And therefore, we infer that regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, when the animal put its feet on the ground, that then the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Shazuri, rather like the Chacham, and that's what we see from Reb Yonasan's halacha, and that's why I said the halacha is like the Tanakam, like the Chacham, not like Reb Shimon Shazuri, and that it requires slaughtering. Now, the Gemara qualifies this teaching of Reb Yonasan, that what are these two halachas that he says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri? So, Mesukin, the halacha that a person's in danger of dying, is it not? Relates to Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Mishnah says, "B'rishayin ha'yoyimrim." Originally, they would say, "Hayetsa b'koiler." Someone's going out in chains, which that he's going to be executed by the government. The Amar, and he says, "Kisv get leishdi, write a divorce document for my wife." Means to say, I don't want her to be stuck with ramifications if she doesn't get divorced right now. So, although he didn't say tenu, give it, he just said write it. His intention was to give it to her, and therefore he made these people agents even to divorce her. It's just that he was so confused and compounded because he's going to die, therefore he didn't say give it. And therefore, the halacha was that not only could they write it, they could also give the getar. Now, Chazrul Lema, they subsequently said even more. Afa mefarish, even someone that's going in a trip overseas, meaning he's going on the high seas, and vayitza b'shiyara, if someone's going in the caravan to the desert, they're also, his mind is not all there, and therefore he says write it, he means write and give it. And you could write and give it. Shimon Shazuri, I mean, he says, afam esukin, also someone that's in danger of dying because of his illness, there also the halacha is, says Shimon Shazuri, that even though he says right, it also means to give. And that's what Rabbi Yonasan is saying, the first halacha, that's like Shimon Shazuri. What's the second halacha? It's trumas meiser shel demai. Which again, demai is, which really means, what is this? That is what? Which is when one buys for Nam Oritz, we don't know if he went and took off the appropriate tithes or not. Now, when one buys the demai, so the tithe itself, so that belongs to the levi, but that's dini mamonis, that's monetary law, so the person could keep it, just separates it, could keep it. But then there's trumas meiser. In that meiser, there's a tenth from that tenth that has to be given to the kohen. That is kedusha, and that a non-kohen can't eat it. So that has to actually be separated and given to the kohen. Now, regarding that halacha, that now we learn the Mishnah Masechet is demai that says, trumas meiser shel demai. So this person bought it from Amma, or he can't trust him, so he separates the meiser, and then from that meiser, which is 100th, then from that tenth, he separates another tenth. And he has to give that to the kain. Now, that trumas meiser shel demai, shechazru l'mekayma. It went and fell back into its place of the rest of the produce. Now, the problem is, that was already designated, already has its sanctity. Now, it's already what's called dimu, it's already mixed in to the rest of the chulin produce. The problem is, to be mevatel the truma, you have to have 101 to 1, and here you only have 100 to the 1. So you're one short of being mevatel that truma, and this is a great loss, because now the whole thing cannot be eaten. All has to be given to the kohen, because it, somewhere in here is something usher for a non-kohen to eat. So on that, Reb Shimon Shazuri Omer, he says, that af b'choil, even in a weekday, since there's no way of rectifying this whole pile of produce, the sages were lenient that you could rely in this case on the Amaretz, on the ignoramus, and Shaila. You could ask him, did you tithe this produce that you sold me? And then, Va'ichli Alpiv, and if he says, yes, I did tithe them, then this person could eat this whole pile based on that the seller's testimony. Now, the reason why Reb Shimon Shazuri says this word, Af B'chol, even during the weekdays, because the ratio that Mishnah quotes, this idea that if someone buys produce from someone that we can't trust regarding the laws of tithes, and then the Yisrael himself who bought it forgot to take off the tithes of the demai, and it's Shabbos, so he can't eat it because you can't separate trumas and meisers on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, he could ask the Amaretz, because of the dignity of Shabbos, we need food for Shabbos. So there they permitted him to rely on the Am Haaretz, because really, most of them really did take off. It's just that because of the concern, we had to consider it as a possible demat. But on Shabbos, because of covered Shabbos, then you could rely on him if he says that he did take off the proper types, and then he could eat only that Suda on Shabbos. And actually on Matzah Shabbos, he cannot eat then until he then goes ahead and retights. And on that is what Reb Shimon was saying, that no, actually even on the weekday you could ask him and rely on him because of the great laws. That was also the second halacha of Trumas Maaseh Shel Demai, Shel Chatzos Mekayma, that Reb Yenison was saying the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shezuri.